Bruce Miller of Cemetery Street in Bethlehem on September 26, 1998. Ruth, you told me that you grew up in Littleton. Were you born in Littleton?
Yes, I was, in 1934.
And how many were in your family?
Three. My two sisters and me.
Do your sisters still live around here?
One of them lives in Pembroke, which is just south of Concord, and the other one lives in Alexandria, which is just outside of Bristol.
But what kind of things did you do when you were little for fun and amusement?
Well, there wasn't any television, of course. So we used to play. We played paper dolls, and we played dolls, and we played cowboys and Indians. And I guess what all kids did back in the 40s, you had to amuse yourself because there wasn't anything to amuse you. And every Saturday afternoon, we went to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which was always a cowboy movie.
Oh, did they show more than one movie at a time?
Or? No.
Uh-huh.
Well, they had short subjects and the news, which was usually very boring because it was about that boring old war that was going on.
Uh-huh. So that's, as children, you weren't really that interested in the war? It seemed like it was far away?
Well, it did. As we got older, of course, it went on from 1941 to 1946. So as we got older, we got more, naturally more interested in it. And we had people in town that we knew, people whose fathers had gone into the service, and older brothers and everything. But it didn't affect me personally much because no one in my close family was in the service.
What about the shortages of food and clothing and that kind of thing? Did that make much impression on you?
Well, the main thing that made an impression on me was that Magoon's, which was a grocery store in Littleton, was the place where my mother did most of her grocery shopping. And now, this was strictly illegal, I know. But when sugar would come in or butter, they would call all their regular customers first. And whatever I was doing, my mother would go out and yell to me, and I'd have to go home, and she would give me the money and the ration stamp that you had to have, and send me dashing down to Magoon's to get whatever it was. And then after they had taken care of their regular customers, then it was announced generally that they had whatever the product was.
Interesting. What did your father do for work?
He was a printer with the Courier Printing Company.
Did you ever go to the newspaper?
Well, once or twice we stopped in. You didn't have the kids going on field trips back then that you do now. Now I think classes is a regular thing going to the Courier office. But, of course, it was in the middle of town, and it wasn't where it is now.
Wasn't it in the same building where the bike shop is?
Yes.
And could you see the presses through those windows downstairs?
Downstairs, yes. On the night, or the afternoon that the paper was printed, you could go down and stand in the big window and watch the big press, and that was fascinating. That was one of the things the kids did. You couldn't go home and watch TV.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was wondering about that. People did go and watch the presses at work.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. When you were growing up, did you hear much about Bethlehem? And what did you think of Bethlehem?
Well, it seemed to me like a very boring place. It didn't seem to be anything going on. But I heard a lot about it because of my grandparents, because my father had grown up in Bethlehem.
Oh.
And then when I got into high school, a lot of the kids from Littleton used to hitchhike to Bethlehem because Bethlehem had a swimming pool.
Oh.
And Littleton didn't. And I didn't because I wasn't allowed to. My mother didn't think that young ladies went out hitchhiking. But anyway, it was quite a popular thing to do, was to go to Bethlehem.
So what was your father's name?
Stuart Dexter.
Uh-huh. And so he grew up in Bethlehem?
Yes. He was born and brought up in the house where the 100-acre wood is now.
Oh. And so were your grandparents still living at that point?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, they moved from Bethlehem to Littleton about 1925.
Oh, so they weren't living in Bethlehem when you were growing up?
No, but they used to talk about it a lot, particularly my grandmother used to talk about Bethlehem a lot.
Were there any particular things that she told you that you remember?
Well, she would talk about how busy it was in the summer, and she took in boarders, and she also took in laundry. My grandfather had the first movie theater in town. It was at where Phyllis Sandman's antique shop is now. And he showed silent movies there. And his sister would come up from Massachusetts in the summertime and play the piano for the silent movies. And my aunts were older than my father, would sell tickets. Matter of fact, my youngest aunt, who's still living, told me that when the Eames owned the Colonial Theater, that they gave one of my aunts a job of selling tickets.
Oh, no.
But, and another one, the job of selling ice cream and candy in the shop next door to make up for having put my grandfather out of business, because of course when talking theaters came in, talking movies came into the Colonial Theater, nobody was going to go and watch a silent movie when you could see talking.
So what did your grandfather do after that when he moved to Littleton?
He worked for a while for a laundry, Littleton Laundry, and then for many years he was the janitor at Littleton Hospital. When he retired from Littleton Hospital, they hired three men to do the job that he'd been doing all by himself.
Wow. So did, what did your grandmother do? She had taken laundry or lodgers in Littleton, did she?
No, she took care of old people. They didn't have, of course, any nursing homes. But she took in, sometimes she took old people in wherever she was living, and other times she and my grandfather would move into someone's house and take care of whoever the older person was.
Mm-hmm. So when she was doing laundry, was she doing all that by hand, do you know?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Like boiling it on stoves and things like that?
I've heard my father tell about his mother doing laundry out in the kitchen and how hot it was and everything. And he thought that the thing he remembered the most was that his sisters, I can say this because they're both dead now, his sisters would sit on a porch and fan themselves, rock and fan themselves while she worked in the kitchen. But knowing my grandmother, she wouldn't have allowed them to help anyway, so maybe they offered, I don't know.
Oh, really? She's the kind of person like to do things herself?
Oh, yes. She always wanted to do everything herself.
Uh-huh. Boy, that's interesting, Ruth, that you had family members that were in Bethlehem. I had known that.
Yes.
Okay. So when you got older and your mother started letting you go out, I assume, when you were a teenager and young adult, what kind of things did you do?
Well, of course, I wasn't a young adult very long before I was married, because when I met Bob at the Eastern Dance Hall, well, it's the town hall in Eastern. They used to have dances there on Saturday nights. They had what I guess you would call a country and western group. They were just people that lived in the area and had jobs that they played on Saturday nights, and my mother played the piano, and I met Bud at one of those dances.
And how old were you?
I was 19.
Mm-hmm. So you graduated from high school?
Oh, yeah.
Were you working anywhere?
No, I was going to school down at Plymouth. I was going to be a teacher, but then when I met Bud, that all went out the window.
Oh. And was Bud a plumber at the time?
No, he worked at Norton Pike. And he got laid off from Norton Pikes in 1956. I was pregnant with our second child. Mm. And he went everywhere there was looking for a job, every place. And finally, Sear Plumbing and Heating was looking for men. So he got taken on there. And he said, I don't know anything about plumbing, but it's something I can learn and something I can do until something else comes along. Well, since he's been in the plumbing business ever since, obviously nothing else came along.
That's over 40 years.
Yeah. In 1963, he started his own business. Mm-hmm. Him doing the plumbing and the heating and redoing his bookkeeping.
You told me that he worked a lot in hotels?
Yes, he did, yeah. Okay. Particularly starting in when he was working with Jack Sear, because a lot of the hotels closed down as that time went on. But yes, in the spring was really busy getting all the hotels open. There was, Jack Sear at one time had 21 people working for him. And a good many of them were working on the hotels.
Wow.
Getting them open, that was a real job.
Yeah.
And then they were always on call. Phone would ring in the middle of the night and have to go, and of course the guests in the hotel, if they didn't have any hot water, they wanted it now. Mm-hmm. If it was in your house, you'd figure, well, the plumber can come in the morning, but in the hotel. People are paying good money and expected service.
Do you remember any interesting stories or wild things that happened along those lines?
Well, yeah, I remember Bud telling about finding a fish in the sewer line at the sink. I don't know how that happened. But I know that I went with him once to the Perry house. We were going somewhere and he had stopped in there on his way to check the oil burner or the water heater, I forget which. But we went into the boiler room and I don't know what kind of inspections they had then, but an inspector now would have closed them right down because the boiler and the water heater had mattresses all leaning up against it. And you wonder how the place kept from burning down. It didn't. Eventually they tore it down. And of course in the summer, a lot of people, well, like on Jefferson Street, had summer places. And Jaxia's trucks always had their names on them. And most of the people didn't know who any of the plumbers were by name, but Bud told me about they'd be going down the street and people come rushing out waving their arms and yelling, see ya, come here, come here.
So they assumed anyone driving that truck was Jack Sears?
It was one of Jack Sears, or usually was.
Uh-huh.
And of course then things started to, places started to close down and Bethlehem, as you know, became more of a second home community and almost a bedroom community for Littleton.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1977, my older children had left, two older children, and we were having that terrible oil crisis. I've been having that, and the house was hard to heat. And so we decided we had to do something, and my two younger sons were not doing all that well in school in Littleton. So everything coming together, and it was be a lot more convenient for Bud, since most of his work was in Bethlehem, if we lived in Bethlehem. So we started looking in Bethlehem, and the house that we live in now had been owned at one time by a lady who left the house to the Episcopal Church. And the bishop used to stay there in the summer. And after the bishop was gone, St. Mary's of White Mountain School now started having some of their teachers live there, and then they rented it to people for a while. And when we saw it, it was been closed up, and the church was trying to sell it, but it was all tied up in court because it had been left to the Episcopal Church, and there was a lot of red tape that had to go through. And we were the second people to look at it. And we got it, everything just fell right into place for moving. The schools in Bethlehem did absolute miracles for our two boys. It wasn't like they weren't the same anymore. They did so much better.
Do you think there's more attention because
yes,
it's smaller?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. It's not really a reflection on Littleton. It was bigger. And of course, at that for several years, Littleton had the Bethlehem and Franconia children going, students going there, and Profile had just opened.
Mm-hmm.
And the student-to-teacher ratio was much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bethlehem Elementary School, for a long, long time, had a well-deserved reputation for excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And the principals of both schools were the type of people that saw to it that each student got the attention that he or she needed. If it was a problem,
mm-hmm.
then they saw to it that it was taken care of. So we're very glad that we moved up here. And to my astonishment, I discovered that living in Bethlehem did not mean that you spent all evenings, particularly in the winter, doing nothing but sitting and counting snowflakes.
Oh, because you've been involved in a lot of community groups.
Yes, and I had always got the impression that in Bethlehem, there was really nothing to do, that it was so quiet, and I discovered that wasn't the case.
So you've been involved with the Methodist Church for a long time?
Yes, since since 1977 we moved here, I started going there. And I've been involved with, I volunteered in the elementary school while Johnny was there. And then I went over and volunteered at Profile, both schools in the library while Johnny was at Profile. And I volunteered in the library, and I'm a library trustee, and been involved in the Chamber of Commerce and the Heritage Society. All in all, I've managed not to be bored.
Really? So, the Methodist Church, how was it 20 years ago? Were there more people attending?
Yes, it was really busy. The pastor that they had at the time was a young man, and he, very dynamic and somewhat of a fundamentalist. And when he decided to leave, a good many of his people went with him. And,
Did he go to another church in the area?
No, originally he did. He went to the Assembly of God Church in St. Johnsbury, and soon discovered that he'd made a mistake. And he went back to the Methodist Church and was pastor down in Plymouth and Ashland. And then he decided to leave and start his own church, which he did, and he's just moved to Assembly of God Church in Lancaster.
Oh, what is his name?
Ken Borchers.
So, at that time, was the church more active in the with community affairs and with events?
Well, a lot of events, but I think, I may be wrong and other people may disagree with me, but I think it is more outreaching to the community now than it was then. It seems as though, because we have the Girl Scouts meeting there, and the Odd Fellows meet there, and various groups who want to have an event, that's a good meeting place. So I really think that we're more into the community, although we're a smaller congregation. I think we're more involved in the community than we were then.
I wonder if it can regain the same place it held as far as the number of people going.
Well, I don't know if it will gain that many, but I think we will have more people. But actually, when you have a church where the congregation is following a person rather than a church, whether it's a Methodist church or whatever kind of church it is, that's not really a healthy situation, I don't think.
No.
But that's just my opinion.
No, because it needs to be a commitment to the church and the community.
Yes.
Not to that minister, because they do come and go.
Yes, they do, particularly in the Methodist church. But yes, we've got Liz Ward in our church now, so there's no doubt we're going to go places.
Let's see. Ruth, we seem to have covered my list that I have, haven't we?
I guess so, yes.
Do you have any additional comments about things about Bethlehem, about changes you've seen, about any thoughts for the future?
Well, we have a lot of people moving here from urban areas, and most of them seem to fit in quite well. People who move from an urban area to, well, not just Bethlehem, but any of the small towns around, I have seen react in one or two ways. Either they love it up here, and you couldn't drag them away, or they can't wait to get away and get back to the urban areas. But I'm probably prejudiced. I've never lived anywhere except northern New Hampshire. But I think if you've got to pick a place to live, it's absolutely ideal.
Yeah.